From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled Lessons in Prayer from the Transcendent Greatness of God, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, A Strong Heart. The text is found in Psalm 27 and verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait. Wait. Let your waiting be on the Lord. He is worth waiting for. He never disappoints the waiting soul. While waiting, keep up your spirits. Expect a great deliverance, and be ready to praise God for it. The promise which should cheer you is in the middle of the verse. He shall strengthen thine heart. This goes at once to the place where you need help. If the heart be sound, all the rest of the system will work well. The heart wants calming and cheering, and both of these will come if it be strengthened. A forceful heart rests and rejoices and throbs force into the whole man. No one else can get at that secret urn of life, the heart, so as to pour strength into it. He alone who made it can make it strong. God is full of strength, and therefore He can impart it to those who need it. Oh, be brave! For the Lord will impart His strength to you, and you shall be calm in tempest and glad in sorrow. He who penned these lines can write as David did, Wait, I say, on the Lord. I do indeed say it. I know by long and deep experience that it is good for me to wait upon the Lord.
Trial brings, we have seen this.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, the Lord Jesus Christ gave His disciples a pattern for prayer, the beloved words we call the Lord's Prayer. The initial phrase, Our Father, which art in heaven, is a reminder of God's dwelling place. Also, it reminds us of the nature of the one to whom we pray. He is the infinite, eternal, and unchangeable God. Yet He condescends to hear the prayers of His children. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message entitled, Lessons in Prayer from the Transcendent Greatness of God.
So though God is omnipresent, the angels can't be omnipresent, and so in relation to His creatures, God has chosen what the Bible calls the third heaven, or the heaven of heavens, as the place of the fullest manifestation of his power and glory. So when Jesus says, "Our Father which art in heaven," he's speaking of God being pleased to reveal more fully than any other place his personal qualities, his mighty power, his transcendent glory. Heaven tells you where God is. But heaven also tells you what God is. It's a word that describes God's character. That's why Jesus calls him your heavenly Father. Now, what does that mean? Well, obviously, the very first meaning must be that he is our Father in a way completely different from any earthly use of the term. Now, that is important to grasp. You see, we must never judge God by any earthly experience of fatherhood. The best of fathers here on earth are weak and flawed, and some of them are downright wicked. Many a time, when a preacher preaches about God our Father, intending to convey the message of Scripture, which is a message of comfort, a message of grace, a message of power, a person will be sitting there who has been abused viciously by some earthly father. When you go and preach the fatherhood of God to a family of young women, every one of whom has been violated by a monster of a father, there's no immediate response in the heart that says, "My, this is good news. I have another father." The last thing in the world they want to hear is anything about a father, because all they have known under that title is a monster. But the trouble, you see, there is that they are taking the earthly and using it to judge the heavenly. God is saying, "I am your heavenly Father. Take away all your ideas of earthly fatherhood with its weakness and its wickedness. Take away all those things. And understand that those are but perversions of a glorious spiritual revelation concerning the relationship in which God stands with his redeemed. The relationship of peculiar intimacy, a closeness that even archangels have never experienced." Get that in your mind. And understand that that is a relationship in which God shows himself all perfect and all powerful. And that's the idea of your Father in heaven. He's all perfect. The psalmist says in Psalm 97 verse 2, "Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of thy throne." Verse 6, "The heavens declare his righteousness." When you read, "Our Father which art in heaven," the heaven is saying, he is our Father in righteousness. Jehoshaphat prayed to God in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 6, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none can withstand thee?" What is Jehoshaphat saying as he prays? He's praying to the one who is in heaven, and the in heaven tells him he is not only all perfect, but he is all powerful. Now I bring those together in the words of Christ when he says, "Pray, our Father which art in heaven." And you can add one other glorious truth to it. He is not only all righteous, all perfect, all powerful. He is not only in heaven where among the angels of glory he makes the fullest demonstration of his glorious perfections, but he is always accessible to us on earth. And that, you know, is the very heart of the gospel revelation. That's what it's all about. We must never lose that. I will no doubt have cause to come back to this again and again. This is the very heart of what God has to say. Religion tends to swing like a pendulum between two great extremes. There are religions that try to express the utter otherness or transcendence of God. There are others that become so pantheistic that they identify God with the creature. God is everything and everything is God. And of course, they're both wrong. The gospel revelation points you to a God who is in heaven. And I want you to know that all the attempts of men to bring God down to earth and to human standards and human levels are abominable and sinful and must fail. Do you realize that every, underline this, modern theological perversion, modernism, liberalism, the social gospel, neo-orthodoxy, demythologizing. If you don't know what that term means, just say hallelujah, because it's a load of rubbish anyway. Paradox theology. I could go down the list. I've said enough to show you there are a lot of perversions that have got into the modern church. Every one of them starts from this. Every one of them starts from this. We as modern men want to be autonomous, and we cannot stand the thought of the transcendence of God. In fact, one of the most important American theologians of the 1960s, he was a young man then, now just a doddering old fool, and I say those words not scornfully, but truthfully. The man who launched what is called Christian atheism, the God is dead theology. Why did he do it? Because all great, and who is not part and parcel of this puny little creation of ours. You can never get away from that. Men either worship God or they worship themselves. Idolatry is the worship of self. Modernism, liberalism, every other ism that moves away from the worship of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, revealed in Scripture. Ultimately, as a great German philosopher, my German is non-existent, so my pronunciation of his name would not be particularly good. I'd need to get Dr. Gingery up to give the guttural representation of Feuerbach. But this man put his finger on it. He said, all these people are only worshiping an extension of themselves. This morning, you're either worshiping God or you're worshiping yourself. Is there any greater idolatry than making yourself your own little God? Is there any surer way to a lost eternity than to worship yourself? But the only alternative is the God as is revealed in the Bible. But how can man approach this almighty God? How can we ever get there? Can we bring him down to earth? Moses says, no, you can't. Paul says, no, you can't. Jesus proves, no, you can't. So how can we ever reach up to God? That's the story of religion. Religion is trying to reach up to God. Revelation is telling you how God reaches down to man. And there's the difference. This is the beauty and the glory of the gospel. God is great, but he is accessible. How is he accessible? Jesus says he's accessible when you can honestly confess he is your Father. Now, I can't take time this morning to go over the ground that I've covered before, but this is important enough for me to make it very clear to you. The only people who can really, in the full sense of this term, call God their Father are people who, as sinners, have come by faith in God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive Him as their personal Savior, to enter into salvation by receiving Christ. Those people then, in union with Him who is properly the Son of God, can call God our Father. And nobody else. Nobody else. I suppose this is the prayer that's most prayed of all prayers in the so-called Christian world, in Christian churches, and indeed apostate churches as well. All over the world, every week, millions of people pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Perhaps you've done it yourself. And how many of you have really ever had access to the throne of God? How many of you have ever really come by faith in Jesus Christ to know God as your Father, Christ as your Redeemer, and His atoning sacrifice as the answer and satisfaction for your sin? Make sure today that you know the access that there is to God and you make use of it. Jesus said, "I am the door." Think of that. What is a door? It's the way in to God. I want you to notice Jesus didn't say, "I am a door." No, no. As if He were one way, Muhammad was another way, Buddhism was another way. No, no. Jesus said, "I am the door. There is no other." Now there's the access and the accessibility of God. But as far as you're concerned, what use is the access if you don't go through the door? Where is the use to you of the simple fact that God is accessible to man on earth while you turn away from the only way into His presence? When Jesus says, "Pray, our Father," He is addressing people who have entrance to God because they have come by faith into Christ. And I would therefore start again this morning with this strong emphasis that you men and women and boys and girls must make sure that you have personally entered into Christ. Do not depend on the name of this church or the ritual of the ordinances of this church or any other church. Do not depend on anything but personal saving faith in Jesus Christ. Because outside of that, you cannot claim God as your Father. But once you have come into Christ, then you come to this great truth that the God of glory is accessible to us here on earth. It's a wonderful message that the Savior therefore is giving us. That our Father, is the Most High God. He is the King of Heaven. And He is the ruler of earth. And He will hear the prayer of us, His children. That's the central message that Jesus is teaching when He says, "Pray, our Father, which art in heaven."
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.